Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord, our God and King. He has so much to say to us. He loves His people. He loves us from the heart, and He loves us forever. I thank God that He does. Now, I want to clear some things up that I started August talking about, actually the end of July, talking about the newfangled gospel. Now, Jesus once said that if you don't build with me, you scatter. And that's not what we want to do. The body of Christ has been scattered so many times in every century, from the times that the apostles fell asleep, and they were being attacked while they were on the earth. But guess what? God continued to call apostles. But the original apostles, they had vision and foundation for life. And those that continued in the path of the Lord, they did too. And those that continued to do research and study and knock, seek, and ask, you know, to do the will of God, they did a more perfect work. And some ministers, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, some of them actually stay in the love of God, and they don't teach the things they don't teach bondage as much. They teach life. When you come to Christ, you come as you are. And you learn and you grow from glory to glory. We don't know everything. We're not always perfectly skilled. But when the anointing is upon your life, God can cause you to say what's necessary. And sometimes I get clues that I don't know. The Holy Spirit will clue me in on something that I have that I'm not aware of. This goes for all of us. And we learn and we grow as we retain the revelation that God is giving. Sometimes while I'm ministering, God is giving me what to say. He's causing me to say what's necessary. That's because of the anointing that I have. The second radio broadcast that I did, I felt the oil of God pouring over my head, and it slowly ran down my face. He enables me to say what you need. I'm not an expert. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. But I yield to the Lord, and He enables me to do what I do. And I do it in love, His love. I do it in strength, His strength. And I monitor the Holy Spirit, and I speak what He prompts me to say. And over time, I see things in a greater way. You know, when people present things to you, it can seem true. But as you continue to live and monitor the Holy Spirit, what I mean by monitoring, paying attention. It's just like if you're in class paying attention to your teacher, trying to get a good understanding. You know, I had to go to school, so while I was there, I had to learn. Now, I didn't always have a student's attitude. Sometimes I just wanted to get the day over with. But when I went to mechanic school to learn about cars, that was something that I was personally interested in. So I paid attention. I monitored my teacher for once. If any teacher in elementary or high school had, we didn't have middle school in those days, in Birmingham in those days, but any teacher that was saying things that was interesting, I'd monitor that teacher. I was trying to learn. Now, when I was in social studies, which was a boring class to me, and also English, which was a pretty much boring class for me, I didn't monitor the teachers as much. I did enough to get by. But when they said something, geography, that was more interesting. Sometimes history, that was more interesting. And math. That was somewhat interesting to me personally. But the more interested I was, the more I monitored the teacher. Now, When I'm handling the holy things of God, the last thing I want to do is say something that's going to hurt somebody, or give some, or say something that Jesus didn't sanction, because he said, if you don't be with me, you scatter. And that's, I do not, that the opposite of that is also true, which means if I be with Jesus, then I unify the body of Christ, the people of God. And I don't just want to get people saved. That's a huge goal of mine. I'm not concerned about what you're doing in life. I'm not concerned about your past, where you came from, whether your parents were married or not when you were born. That don't concern me. What concerns me is you getting to know Jesus, who loves you. Because God loved you, and he meant it. The Father loved you. He sent the Son. The Son obeyed the Father. He wanted to do the will of God. They said, you didn't eat. What did you eat? Are you hungry? He said, my meat is to do the Father's will. Jesus embraced the Father's will. He wanted to serve God, and he wanted to save you. And he did. He used everything he had to save you. Don't throw it away. One scripture said, taste and see that God is good. If you believe on Jesus, those that have not been saved yet, or ask him to save them, what do you have to lose? If you ask the Lord to save you from the heart sincerely, if you ask him to save you, he'll do it. You can always go back to what you like right now, but you can't always get saved. If you walk away from salvation, things can happen. Your heart can get harder. Some people say, I'm going to wait till I'm on my deathbed. You might get hit by a train. You might get hit by a car. You may have an aneurysm. I'm not speaking these things against anybody, but these are things that happen to everyday people. And every time somebody dies, people that love God, they hope that they knew the Lord, or got to know the Lord, or got saved. People can get saved at the last minute, but you wasted your whole life being estranged from God. And then the devil will tell you anything. That's not good for you. That's not God's will for you. We need the love of God now towards us, and we need to share it with others. That's life. That gives you purpose. If you don't do that, you don't have purpose. You wouldn't know it. You will only know what it's like to love God and understand that he loves you if you believe on Jesus Christ. Not from the mind, but from the heart. You got to do your own research. You can't trust others to do this for you. Now, you know, how would you know how good it is if you don't try? How would you know how a cake tastes if you don't sample it? When people are caught up in doing something, you know, it's important to repent. That means turn from it. But if you turn from the world and start looking towards God, believe on Jesus Christ, the world's going to try to stop you. But what I mean by the world is the world system. The world system is a system that Satan started to hinder people from knowing God. He's afraid of you knowing who God is for yourself. So this is why he does it. And it's important to hear what the apostles taught, what Jesus taught. Start with what Jesus taught. Study what the apostles taught, and you're going to do fine. And as you do, as you go forward from there, you grow from glory to glory. And that's what we all do. We're trying to go forward. No, if I say anything that did scatter somebody, I'm sorry. That's not my intention. My intention is for you to know the Lord for yourself. Now, Paul wrote Timothy something in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now watch some. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, salvation is free. And when people try to get you to, there used to be a doctrine of sanctification. And the church, along with you believing on Jesus Christ, they said, well, you can't do this. You can't wear, women couldn't wear pants. They couldn't wear jewelry, makeup. You can't smoke, drink coffee, go to movies, or play sports. And they had a long list of things that you just can't do if you're going to be a part of the church. Or if you, that was their doctrine. Now, the problem with that is this. It scattered people. It caused people, though they handle the things of God, though they love the Lord, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they had miracles from time to time. God worked, he was working with them while they were ignorant. But see, you can't blend the grace that God gives you. Salvation is a grace. You can't work for it. And every time people try to do this, they end up trying to work for salvation. And they exclude people because of their differences. Now look, if you're in the ditch and you can't help yourself, do you believe that God don't love you? Now Jesus came and died for us all in the condition that we were in. He's going to save people if they want to be saved. There was a lady in the church. We come to the Lord as we are. She had on makeup and jewelry. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before the evening service. And so she was still in love with God. She didn't go home and change or anything. And she was at the altar praying. And a woman walked up and said, if you'll take that jewelry and that makeup off, the Lord will give you the Holy Ghost. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. She already received it. See, that's the problem when you try to restrict people according to your doctrines. And it was very problematic. A lot of people would have came to Pentecostal churches a long time ago, but the doctrine of sanctification and the way that they did it, it pushed people away. If a man is struggling with cigarettes, why would I tell him to stop smoking and then get saved? His chances of stopping smoking is higher if he gets saved first. A man that's drunk, he could die. Get saved, and the Lord will help you, give you the strength to stop drinking. See, repenting from dead works is also receiving strength from the Lord. You got to receive his strength first, and then you can back up the things that's not right. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Audio page 6, this broadcast is under today's date, and it's free. Everything's free, so don't worry about money. Just go there and receive it. It'll download to your device, your phone, laptop, or computer, whatever you're on, and you can listen to it again and again. It'll stay on your phone. Now, in the download section. Now listen, God loves you. And see, people's focus was on making people do the church laws, and they scattered the church. Their children, when they got old enough not to go to church, they didn't. Because it's weird. The love of God, the way we fulfill the law is first to get washed in the blood. And when you do that, when you love God, you don't want to do wrong. I can't remember the Lord ever telling me to tell people not to drink something, not to smoke, or restricting what they wear. Now, Paul said to the women, dress modestly. Well, everybody need to dress modestly. And they know this. If you have a love of God in you, you want to do what's right. You don't need me to tell you every little thing like you a two-year-old. If the research has been done, smoking will kill you. It will destroy your lungs. You know this. So I don't, those are things that the Holy Spirit will handle. I drink coffee. Coffee's not wrong. It doesn't do anything. I won't drink too much, but somebody said it was a sin. I watch movies. I like movies. I monitor the kind of movies I watch. If it's degrading, I don't watch it. I don't want to watch it. But it's not, I don't restrict myself just because others want me to. Sports. I like sports. I don't like sports as much as others, but I like sports. And the Holy Spirit have never told me to preach against sports. You know, the things that God said don't do that. Then the reason that there's a reason for the things that God said don't do, it will kill you. It will cause you to be something that will destroy you. Sin destroys you. It destroys you from the inside out, and it changes your will, your appetite, your outlook on life. Everything changes with sin. Don't forget that. But what people say is a sin is not always true. The Word of God defines what it is. See, the enemy, let's look at our Galatians 5. We'll close with Galatians 5, under God's order. I love the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And we're going to look at the whole chapter. Now, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, with the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." You're free from sin. Live in it. Okay. Continue. "And not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." See, sin has a bondage side. What is sin? Anything that's not of faith. All right. Continue. Verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, what is he talking about there? People that don't know the law, they would be confused on verse 2. They wouldn't understand it. But what he's saying, see, circumcision was a covenant that pointed to the fact that you needed Christ. It helped the Jews understand that they were set apart. So here you got Christ. People that believed on Jesus already, the Jews didn't believe on him. So they didn't have a reference for what life was. And they tried to impose their views on Christians. Well, you can't be saved. You're not even circumcised. The males. Men are circumcised. Women are not. And, if circumcision made you perfect before God, then the blood of Jesus did you no good. Because there's no faith in what Jesus did for you. You got more faith in what your surgery did than what Jesus did. Circumcision doesn't change anything about your heart. It was just to let the Jewish people know that they were sort of set apart for something greater. And when Christ came, this is it. This is what was greater. Okay. They couldn't keep the law anyway. And sometimes they didn't even get circumcised. But nevertheless, they're trying to impose this on the Gentile believers that don't get circumcised. Okay, continuing. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." If you're going to make the law, if you're being made perfect by the law, you got to do all of it. But the problem is you're already broken. You're already going to be judged because you're already broken. You can't go back in time and not break it. You were born into sin, so you broke the law. So, the only reason we're saved is because of what Jesus did for us. Salvation through faith in Jesus' works. His blood washed our sin away. Nothing else made us righteous. If you stop eating pork, that don't make you righteous. You're just a sinner that stopped eating pork. You'll probably have a better heart, but you're still going to die and go right on to the pit if you die in your sin. Or in your sin condition. Okay, continue. "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Even if you believe on Jesus and then you start listening to people that are wrong and start believing that you can be justified by what you do, you fell away from grace, because now your focus is on what you're doing and not on what Christ did for you. They fell away from grace, and now they were in Christ, and now they're working for salvation all over again. So don't do that. What you wear has nothing to do with what Jesus did in your heart, unless you do it in his name by faith. Women that dress skimpy and they get saved, they want to honor God, they'll dress modest. But if they start dressing modest to be righteous, now they're wrong. We do whatever you do that's right, do it because it's right, not to get saved. The way people present it is, if you still dress skimpy, then you ain't saved. Now they're judging the person's heart. They may not have any more clothes. I don't know, you know, things like that. Paul said to honor wisdom and to honor God and not make your brother stumble, put some clothes on. Don't show all of yourself. Just act on the love of God. Now, I'm not going to spell it out how you need to dress and fit. And, you know, I can tell you so many stories, but that'll kill the time. If people just operate according to the love of God, then you're going to be fine. You're going to serve God and you're going to do well. But when you trying to keep laws that God didn't give you, that's a burden. All right. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availed anything. Well, let me go back to 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. And that's how you got to live. This will unify the body and stop scattering the body of Christ, the people of God. Verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven levels the whole lump. So don't handle the things of darkness in order to honor God. Do it God's way. Look to Jesus and live from the perceptions that you receive from him. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren,